The first reading is from Matthew 5, 1 through 11. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and Jesus began to speak and taught them by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are people, are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." And later in Acts, chapter 3, 24 through 16, there's lessons about God and how to act. Peter said, "And all the prophets, as many have spoken from Samuel and those after him, also predicted these days. You are descendants of the prophets, and the covenant of God came through your ancestors, saying to Abraham, 'And your descendants, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed.' And when God raised up his servant," he's talking about Jesus, "he sent him to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, as I was preparing this sermon on Barbara Brown Taylor's chapter pronouncing the spiritual practice of pronouncing blessings, I found myself laughing as I read the paper and read Dear Abby, which I admit I read every week. And here it was: "Dear Abby, I suffer from severe seasonal allergies. I get watery eyes and sneeze during January and February of each year. I went to an allergist and he could not do much for me. I struggle to get through the day as possible. Every sneeze seemingly elicits a 'God bless you' from some stranger. I am unable to acknowledge it. Abby, I do not need those blessings. Calling attention to my difficulties, frankly, it just annoys and embarrasses me. I'm trying the best I can to be quiet and avoid disruption. Can you please ask your many readers to end this ancient, silly practice and let those of us with allergies suffer in peace? At you in Kansas City." Now, here is Abby's response: "No. The God bless you convention originated in the Middle Ages. People thought that if someone sneezed, the soul literally left the body and it snatched by the devil if you did not say 'God bless you.' Those that say it today may be doing it out of a conditioned reflex or to be polite. Accept the kind gesture and stop complaining." I echo her awareness that we could use a little bit more kind gestures in the world. I also understand the writer's uncomfortableness with receiving a blessing. I mean, sometimes we're too a bit reluctant to receive blessings. What does it mean when someone says, "God bless you"? In the South, it can mean, "You're an idiot, but God loves you." Thank God you don't carry that understanding here. And many times we're just reluctant to give a blessing if we're asked to. You could say, oh, it's the pastor's job. She is right here. She can do that blessing. She can do a prayer. She went to school for that. And Barbara Brown Taylor really calls us to look at the pronouncements of blessing. And she said it's a big mistake to perpetuate the illusion that only certain kinds of people can bless things. I wonder if the truth be told, when we're asked to give a blessing at a family meal or something, because they kind of know we go to church, that we too are a bit reluctant. Barbara reminded me that we may say we're not qualified, we're not good words, we'd rather jump off a high board than say a prayer in public. And she said, if you're one of those people, she says, you only know why you're like that. But she says, if you're one of those people, I can tell you the world needs you to reconsider your reluctance to pronounce blessings. And I think maybe we kind of need a refreshing course or an awareness of what a blessing is, what it means in old scriptures and what it means in this 21st century. The word bless, the action of blessings, happens over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. The word that is often used for blessing is barak, and it means to praise, to congratulate, to salute, and even sometimes it can be used as a little bit of a curse. In Genesis 1:22, the first occurrence happened. God blesses the sea creatures and the birds, telling them to be fruitful and multiply. And God's blessing, like we heard in the scriptures from Lori, are often a promise of God's prosperity. It's a promise of children, of material things, of enough to eat, of peace, of a world where God is in control. And blessings can also carry with them a sense of happiness or contentment. And it means kind of the contentment of knowing that you're walking in God's ways, that you're following on the right path. Blessing reminds us that we are loved by God. And even if times are hard now, they will not be hard forever. It carries in that a sense of living in God's ways. God often does the blessing, prophets do the blessing, but people in scriptures offer them too. And when we move to the New Testament, blessing kind of changes from a material sense to more of a spiritual sense. Like we read in those Beatitudes, blessed are. And blessed here means a happy state, a sense of fulfillment because you know that you're doing what God wants. It's not like happy, happy, joy, joy. The blessings first may sound a bit more like a curse until one hears the promise attached to each one. Being poor in spirit, for example, is no blessing in itself, but attached to the promise, it possesses the life-changing power in it. It's a promise that's located not in our own power or self-assertion, but in the unparalleled power of God. The blessing of this present time, it's that deep fulfillment and satisfying inner joy that can be experienced when we live our lives like God wants them to be led. Jesus often blesses people. And the people he often blesses are the people don't want to see or don't think very much about. He blesses children and women and lepers and outsiders and tax collectors. He's reminding those people and those around them that these too are God's beloved children. And there is change and the ability to follow God's ways for all of us. I love that another word for a blessing in the New Testament is eulogio. That's my Greek. It's not so good. but it focuses on good words or good reports, and it's where the word eulogy comes from, that we say good words about someone that has passed away. Blessings are a way of saying thank you to God. Calling someone blessed, even if they persecute us, really, means we don't let that hate and that just that evilness transform us. It remembers even you are one of God's beloved, and I'm not going to match your ugliness with my own. It's about receiving blessings, and so we're transformed. It also has a sense of the here and now. Barbara Brown Taylor's book reminded me that observant Jews say over 100 prayers a day. There is a prayer for everything. And often they begin with the words, "Blessed are you, Lord God, our King, our God, King of the universe." Barak Adonai Eloheinu is my bad Hebrew. But there's this, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe." And then they can put something else on that. If it's before a meal, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth," a blessing for a meal. If you've had something really good go on, you can say, "Bless you, O God, Lord of the universe, for your benevolence and your care." If something bad happens, you could say, "Blessed are you, Lord God of the universe, who knows of truth." It's a blessing for every occasion. I kind of like where it gives room for that. And if I tell the truth, you all are pretty good at blessing. You probably don't know it, but it's all over our worship bulletin. You bless after you receive forgiveness. You bless the doxology when you sing it after offering. It's all over communion, and then you take part in the benediction. You actually know how to bless, and you do it all the time. But I'll confess, when I was a young pastor, I was a bit uncomfortable with blessing because I thought it had something to do with me, like I had to be really holy or I had some special power which I knew I didn't have. It took me a while to understand that it wasn't about me. It was reconfirming what God had already done. A blessing is a hope said out loud. I didn't understand that when people said, "Bless the Lord," it was a way of thanking God. "Bless the Lord" means thank you, God. Barbara Brown Taylor reminds me that a blessing does not confer holiness. The holiness is already there, embedded in the very givenness of the thing. Blessing doesn't mean that the one who gives it is holy. We're bringing to light what God has already done. And blessing does not overlook the complexity of life, the suffering and the pain. I think blessing has the ability to transform the one who blesses, the blessee, though it's not required and it doesn't happen all the time. A blessing requires you to kind of loosen up how you hold good and evil, to loosen up the line of what you consider good and bad. Because if you've lived for a while, you know sometimes good and bad is not always easy to tell. That you may give a blessing when you break a bone and a blessing when you win the lottery, because those events may be a little more alike than you know. Live with either of them for very long, and you may discover that neither of them is as good or as bad as you thought they would be. Blessings remind us that in ordinary situations, the most ordinary things, the most ordinary people are drenched in divine possibility. To pronounce a blessing is to see things from a divine perspective. To pronounce a blessing is to join in God's own initiative. To pronounce a blessing is to share in God's just overwhelming love. And we Presbyterians of a Reformed faith believe priesthood of all believers, and that means we all get to bless. That's when you were practicing in that peace. Sydney, peace be with you, and also with you, Maggie. We're practicing saying God's love and blessing on people. We're offering up peace in all that we do to people who know it and people that don't. It doesn't take one's awareness to give out that blessing. Naming people reminds them that they are precious in God's sight, and God holds them and us. We bless people in ordinary and tense situations. I love Barbara in her book talks about, how about when you're departing from a flight, you know, at an airport, everyone's a little bit crazy. How about you bless everyone getting on the plane? And remember that each of them probably has something significant going on. I wonder if the translation for us would be, how about when you ride the bus, you bless everyone? The one who is talking too loud, or maybe to themselves. The one who has too many packages and is taking up two seats. The mother with the stroller not placed very well. And those loud teenagers in the back of the bus. To the one who talks to themselves, peace be with you. For the one who has too many packages, God is with you and you are loved. To the mother with the stroller, may God give you strength to see joy in that child's face every day. To the boys and the girls in the back of the bus with too much energy, bless you. May you bring that energy to change the world. And maybe you ask God to bless you with a little bit of that energy too. So you don't know what words to say? That is not going to work here, because on the back of your order sheet is a list of little blessings, prayers. You can memorize them. You can put them anywhere you want, tape them to the back of your phone, put them on your screensaver. You see someone on the street, you just think to yourself, peace be with you. You see a coworker, what would it be if that coworker you said, blessed are you, God, and blessed is the one who sits at that desk? Why don't you learn to pronounce some blessings? Because it's a way of holding everyone in God's love, kind of up to the light. And as dear Abby says, we can lose some more kind gestures this day. For when we bless people, it is evident that they have been blessed by God, even if they know it or remember it or not. It means seeing people from God's perspective. And Barbara Brown Taylor would say, if you're willing to bless another, it's a miracle enough to stagger the stars. So why don't you get about the business of blessing people? And see how God may open you up to God's presence this week. God bless you, and also may God's blessings be with me. Amen.